Let's Talk. This is session two out of a four session set. Each one has a story that I think would be helpful and encouraging to you. Each story that I tell has a principle and a purpose in there. And so this time I'm going to ask a question. Do you have concern for others? Do you think about those around you? Those people in your family, those people in your community, those people that you encounter in your daily walk through this world, are you concerned for who they are? Are you concerned for their future? So for believers who have faith and see in that faith their object, the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a natural desire to want to share that, but always be looking for the right opportunity, the right circumstance, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, that we're not offensive, we're only encouraging and pointing people toward you. So do you have that kind of concern? Because out there are people who are hurting, and there are people that are lost. There are people that don't know anything about what their future is going to hold, that don't have the kind of faith that we have in a specific object like God the Son, Jesus Christ. But some of them think they do. And those are the ones, I think, that even in church or among our family, those folks that we know, friends and acquaintances, that we may have an opportunity to share. So here's a scary passage that comes out of Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, those are the ones that he'll let in. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from you, from me, you workers of lawlessness. These are people who feel like they've done what God wants them to do. They have a sense that they care about other people. And so they've done a lot of things, not necessarily bad things, but what is the underlying reason for why they've done them? And those people that are saying, look what I've done for you, God, rather than praise God, glorify his name for what he has done for me, his death on the cross, those people that are saying, look what I've done for you, God, are the ones that are going to face him and have him say, I'm not sure I even knew you. We don't know who those are, but the Holy Spirit does. And so we should be sensitive to that. There's a tendency, I think, for people that are churched to look at other people that are churched. Maybe they're very nice people. They do things for you. They help you out. They smile at you. They pat you on the back and say, well, that must be a Christian. Maybe they are, and maybe they aren't. We can't judge them, but we can sure try the spirits, and we can be discerning, and we can look, and we can say, I wonder if this person really knows Jesus Christ, or this person is just doing good things to earn his way to heaven. So I'd like to share a story with you from my background again. Early in my medical practice, this would be way back in 1978, 79, way back in the horse and buggy days. They did have x-ray machines in those days, by the way. I joined a practice that I thought was a Christian practice. There were two doctors and some nurses, and the older senior doctor was about to retire. He was very, very senior. And as I interviewed and talked with him, he shared his faith with me, and I thought, boy, this is confirmation, this is good. And the day he left is the day I started. And then I began to try to understand, what does God's kind of doctor do? And so from time to time, as I worked with patients and talked to folks and dealt with their issues, I'd point them to Jesus Christ, or I'd ask them, do you see God in this circumstance, and what's going on with you? And thought I was on the right track. In fact, I'm still sure I was on the right track, but the head nurse reacted to that and caused great difficulty for her. Mainly she had to deal with the people who came out of the exam room and said, who is this guy? I'm not sure I like what he had to tell me. So she asked me one day about my faith. And we had some time, so we discussed that. And I asked her about her faith. She was of a different denominational background than I was, and so I asked her about her faith. And I said to her, may I ask you a question? And she said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I said, if something were to happen to you tonight on your way home, and you were hit by a truck, you know, driver's drunk or whatever, and you died, and you appeared at the gates of heaven, and she looked at me, and it was a little bit uneasy, and I said, would Jesus let you in? And she said, yeah, I think he would. And I said, why would he let you in? And she said, because I took care of my poor dying mother. She was bedridden. She lived in our house. I bathed her and changed her diapers and fed her and took care of her for weeks and weeks and months before she died. And because of that, I think God would let me in. And I said to her, that's a wonderful thing. That's a super thing. That's a really good thing. However, that's not good enough to enter into heaven. You have to have the righteousness of God in your heart and in your life through that gift that he gives when we believe and receive him. And she looked at me and got so angry she could hardly stand still. She's probably still angry at me at this point. We never really recovered from that. But here is someone who's trusting in what they have done for God rather than what God has done for them. And those are the people, if they aren't careful and they aren't thoughtful, are mentioned in the passage in Matthew 7. So John 1:12 says, but as many as have received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. I picture, by the way, the cross of Christ. And to me, there's two arms to the cross of Christ. One arm is believe and the other arm is receive. So the one side says, but as many as received him, yes, I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord, not just my Savior, but as my Lord. You're in charge of my life. And the other side is to receive and to believe. That's the two sides of the cross. And those two pieces are what I think it means to actually become a Christian, to say to the Lord, I respond to what you've done in my life. You've created a need. You've created a desire in my heart to love you. You've created a curiosity to find out more about you. And I'm going to quit living for myself and start living for you. Those are the issues that according to Scripture, by faith alone in Christ alone, that will stand firm and be recognized at the gates of heaven. So ask yourself, what are you trusting in? Will he let you in? You either say, yep, I know he will, or I'm not sure. And if you're not sure, those are the folks that need to be contacting us here at church or other Bible-believing folks, folks around you that know Jesus Christ. Contact them, talk to them in private, and help them understand where you are in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that you might use each one of us in the hearts and lives of those that are around us. We're just a tool in your hand. I pray that those around us that think they've got everything taken care of but don't would come to realize that it's not what they do for you. It's only what you have done for them that makes them acceptable to you. I thank you for that wisdom, and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.